Hello, everyone. Welcome back to the Universal Love Movement podcast show with your host, Dr. Carl S. Moore. I'm so very excited today to continue this series on accessing abilities. You all have unique, unlimited potential to be unlocked, and we have to unleash it. So here I'm joined by one of my we go back so many years when I really first started in higher education, one of my really dear friends, Elvita Quinones. I want to say Dr. Elvita Quinones, you know, like give you the respect and command, but I won't. How are you today, Elvita?
I'm doing really well. Thank you. Thank you for inviting me to your podcast, and thank you for being, you know, a lifelong mentor and like I mentioned before, on my personal corporate board of advisors and trusted colleagues.
That I feel so very privileged and honored to be seen, we have talked over the years, there's been numerous ups and downs, more triumphs in flying and floating in the air, accelerating and celebrating all of your wonderful accomplishments. I won't drop all those here, but I do know that being very excited for you to be on this show, because this particular topic that we're talking about today is embracing technology, right? So the whole idea of accessing ability, we've had different episodes where we're just really thinking about intelligence and more of a capacity-based way, adding to the growth narratives around what people can do with their potential. And you're actually, when we were working together, I think I can drop schools, the names of where we were at. We were at the Fox School of Business, working in an advising center there. And I just remember how you use technology, and you were just I was thinking to myself, maybe she goes home and she she has an outlet under her arm and plugs herself into the wall. you were that digitally inclined. And this is in the early 2000s, do you remember those times and your use of technology? It was more than your average person, Avita. It definitely was.
100%. I mean, I've always had a affinity towards technology, because I saw it's always been a shiny object, and I've always been curious about technology. I want to learn more. How can I use these tools to help me in my day-to-day and whatever I'm doing? But I think especially when we worked in that space, it was very fast-paced, and we had to help students, and we had a lot of information that we needed to navigate really quickly to be able to support our students as quickly as possible. I would always think about what tool, what technology is out there that we could leverage that could help the team to be able to take care of our students and move as quickly as possible.
Yeah, I think that's the piece there. It's the because even in some folks that are listening to the show, they may think, let's embrace technology for students but then there are others that may be more so around the productivity or to do it to meet their outcomes. And I really just love the broader conversation where it's about technology and how can it be leveraged for whatever, outcome that you have. And I really do appreciate, I've learned a lot from you in terms of even just approach towards using technology. And this is before I was doing, heavy learning science around leveraging it to, meet course outcomes. It was really about, from the necessity of having it, like you said, a fast-paced environment. So just to let you know, I'm indebted to that. You and there was another colleague that we had that just, I'm like, wow, I thought I knew technology, but you all have. So what do you think originally, attracted you to technology in such a way in terms of what you've, how you used it at that time? Was it just a natural piece? I don't want to date you in terms of millennial, not millennial type of thing. I have no idea. What is it? Go ahead. What are you going to say?
I think the thing that first stands out to me is being from, you and I kind of connected initially when we met, just being from an underrepresented population and recognizing that I did not have the same access to technology that other people did. That was my first like spark of interest, and that made me want to access it even more, right? And so I remember, this is so silly, I was telling my mom about this the other day, but I remember going to college, this might date me a bit, I remember going to college and seeing and having to wait in line to type out my paper in the computer lab, and I remember
that too, yeah.
I remember there was this one student who we came into the same program and for underrepresented students, and he had a laptop. And that, during those days and age, like, that was unheard of, because most people, if they did have a computer, they had a computer. It was like, it was this big boxy computer. Like, I didn't get, and that I got that my senior year, my second semester senior, I was about to graduate. And that was a big deal. So the lack of, like, not having access to technology really made me hungry and I, like, that, for me, that was really exciting. To see someone who had it, and it was just so, I was so curious. I remember asking him, can I look at your
What is this object that you have in front of you that has keys on it and there's no doesn't have to be plugged into the wall? Oh goodness. But you've come so far, you know, since then. Tell us a little bit about, you know, I know that we won't, you know, provide any information that's not necessary or not in good taste, but where are you now? What do you do? Just generally speaking, in terms of, you know, and how do you leverage technology? Then I'll get into some of the actual, you know, questions that I have for you. You know, I just wanted to kind of start off just kind of reacquainting around the topic.
Yeah, no, absolutely. Super grateful to be in the space where I am right now. I never thought that I would be here, but it speaks to, like, just being curious, right, and staying committed to your dreams. So I have grateful I have the honor and privilege of working for, it's like a Fortune 500 company, you call it.
Yes, we could say that. Yeah, you can say that. We won't say any names.
Yeah, we won't say names, but I get to work in the DEI and belonging space. So I work as one of the leaders in their belonging space. So I'm creating inclusive spaces for underrepresented talent in tech. I get to support them through their journey and help retain them in the tech space, because we definitely need. So as you can see, my story, like, from college to today, it plays well together, because my interest in technology and also creating inclusive spaces where underrepresented talent and people can feel included in the tech space to make sure that our voices are integrated into the creation of technology. And so that's what I get to do. And during my off time, I support I serve as, like, president of Alpha Philadelphia. Alpha is Association of Latino Professionals for America. I'm the president of the Philadelphia chapter, which is, I'm closing out my 2-year term. And so with that, let me tell you a little bit about this. With that, I've helped, it's an association that usually are in business schools, but it is from student level up to executives. And the whole, it has a spectrum of Latino professionals. And so, like, we have this annual, this is what sold me. I helped the students start the chapter at the Fox School of Business, Temple University. This is, like, 6 years ago. They came to me, they asked me, would you be willing to be our advisor? Because they couldn't find a faculty member that would. And so,
right.
And I never had a role in DEI, but I always created inclusive spaces in all the work that I've done. And so that was a project of love that came out of love and support for our students who needed that affirmation, support, and guidance. And so, like, yeah, absolutely. I didn't know it was a role that I could actually leverage to pivot from higher ed to tech. And so I didn't know it was also for professionals. And when I learned that, when I started, I invested a lot of time and energy into supporting the students. But then when I learned that there was a space for the professional, that was what helped me pivot from higher ed into tech.
Wow, that's really awesome. And how the story ties together, like you were saying, from that moment where you're looking at this other student with this laptop into coming full circle for you to be in that position. That's pretty awesome. Very, very cool.
Yeah. And if I could really quickly shame.
Yeah, sure.
It was plugged, but I want to plug this through this role that I've done, quote unquote, during my off hours, right? My free time. And with the president of the New Jersey chapter and other regional leaders, they came and they asked me, as a president of Philadelphia, they were like, hey, we're interested. I found a community of Latino tech professionals. They were like, we're interested in starting a tech summit, and we want to start in the Northeast, but we want to help Latino talent that's in the business world transition into tech? Because there's a business space for tech. There's, like, you and I both know, there's different like layers of
100%. Tech. Yes, indeed. That's so you've, and that's the beautiful thing about LVT, your work, because you've embraced it from, and I've seen it, and it's so, I'm thankful for you being on the show. You've embraced it from a very personal standpoint to how to get things done in a job, to how to actually help students, but then how to help professionals, but then now how to help like an entire ecosystem, you know. So there's so many layers that I don't know how often you think about that, but when I was thinking about this whole embrace the technology, I figured you've been living it. So, you know, it's time to take a little bit of a step back and, you know, kind of download some of the wisdom from you on this. So it's really exciting.
No, I appreciate it. I appreciate it. And we have this Northeast Tech Summit, and it's coming up in April, but that's our shameless plug. Stay tuned for that if anyone's interested in learning.
Oh, great. What month is that, the Northeast Tech Summit? Or like typically?
Typically April. This is our second.
April.
Okay. Last had 300 students and from Alpha, people who are interested in, who are in tech or interested in pivoting into tech. And it's absolutely inclusive. You and I both know Latino space is a very inclusive space. Like,
yeah, 100%.
Look or language or, you know, it's like so
right.
Just sharing that.
No, that's great. That's exciting. Yeah, that's good. You mentioned that before in terms of your involvement, but that's actually something for me to note. So I personally appreciate that. So I can make sure that I'm involved somehow or there. You have to make the space for it, right? So things are moving so fast. Go ahead.
I may be asking you to speak there. So.
Okay, well, I really have to know about it. No, that's great. That's great. And you know how it is. Anything I can do to be a part of the evolution and helping out, you know. This is really exciting. So, okay. So there's so much to talk about, and I want to make sure to keep the line, but we can talk about anything and go off offshoots. And there is possibility for, like, you know, multiple, you know, theories or what have you. But I wrote this, a blog when I was on the Online Learning Consortium, part of one of our faculty for emerging leaders in online education. So we had this thing where we would kind of like lead up to the program, and we would write blogs. We would take turns to kind of generate interest. And there was one, and I'm so excited to get this question out to you particularly, where I talked about technology as a bionic arm. And, you know, from your experience, how do you see this analogy playing out in real life scenarios? I've seen you on the ground where it's been your bionic arm, but it's kind of, you know, from the vantage point for maybe just personally, professionally, I know you were, as a student, you were studying, I think, MIS. I don't know if your second master's is an MIS or something. I don't, you can remind me about that. But just this idea that technology can be a bionic arm, just want to learn more from you on that.
I was studying, didn't finish the program, but I was, we had tuition remission through Temple. So I was in their MS in digital marketing. It's like a combination.
Digital marketing.
MIS and marketing. And so that was so helpful. It's absolutely been helpful in what I'm doing now and just how my thought process is. But when I think about that digital arm, our technology, it's such a powerful tool, and it gives us the ability to first access information. But if we can be strategic in accessing that information, and when I hear a digital arm, think about then how do we take that information, how do we move with that information, and how do we use it to achieve our goals personally, professionally, if we're using it in a strategic way, if we're really thinking through it, right? So I see that as an ability to meet your goals in a day, and also in a data-driven approach, right? Because like we all process information, we're looking at information all day long, but it's like, what do we do with that information when we absorb it? What's the output that we're gonna like I'm talking about
today. Right,
what's the
right
output we're looking for once we get that information, right? So we look at, we absorb it, we process it, right, with that the digital arm, and then what are we going to do with it, where does it go, right?
If you're thinking of it like LV says, like, you know how like when you could lift, let's say you can lift, like, we know you're super strong, let's say you can lift like 50 pounds, right? You can But then with this bionic arm, so we talk about it as a digital arm, which is great, but as a bionic arm, you can lift more. How does that inform like what you've seen in your practice and kind of the world, like us being able to do more? You mentioned fast pace earlier. You were like, I was just using it because it allowed us to do more in the with the demands or what have you. So, you know, what would you say to that part? You kind of shifted over to being bionic arm versus digital. It may be the same thing.
No, now you got my head, but like my thoughts moving faster here. But it makes me think, like, even as we evolve now in this new growing space of AI, right? We have the digital arm.
Mm-hmm,
how we process it, what output we're looking for. But then also now with the AI and the language models that are being created, like, gives us a whole nother layer of how we, what we do, it gives us suggestions beyond what we could ourselves come to. And so that makes me think, like, the bionic arm is enhanced output. That's what I think when I hear.
Ooh, wow. Yeah.
If that makes sense.
It makes a lot of sense. And you know, what's amazing about it is I hadn't thought about these two different types of arms, like technology as your digital arm, actually into the space, into those spaces to allow you to do the things, I mean, all that you just stated, but then also that element of it being an actual, you know, bionic arm, like you said, to be able to accomplish more. And that's pretty, you know, direct and that's really charged and concentrated right there. It's like, okay, you can do more, and so much that you learn it, you know, and you learn how to utilize it. So I think that's huge. Because you may have folks, remember we were talking before about folks who want to embrace or may not embrace it. So, you know, that's a thing that I think you're really good at, where you're like, let's just look at it like this. I think, did you say it's just a tool? I forget exactly how you put it the other day or whenever we were talking before. How do you kind of approach it, like, so that it's not a intimidating thing for folks?
Yeah, absolutely. It is the way my thought process is. It is a tool. Like, I am the boss of the technology.
Okay.
And I understand why some people get scared of technology, because they are don't know the capabilities, so they feel like, sometimes, like, I don't want to even mess with it if I don't know what it's capable of. But in my mind, I think I'm the boss of this technology. I'm looking for this technology to support what output I'm looking for. And so in the different, I think about even when we were part of that information system change at the university, we were going into a new system. And so I remember when we were training people and we were like, look, use it, play with it. You can't break the system. Like, if you can't break it, just try it. And if it doesn't work, it's okay, no big deal. But that's how I think about using technology, is you can't really break it. Now, I understand the thought of, like, well, what could come out of it? And I just try to, like, think, okay, when I'm using this technology, what is there any harm? What's the advantages? What's the disadvantages? What harm could come out of it? And first, like, being curious. And so I think I like to encourage people to just put your toe in. And I think usually the technology, depending on what you're using, of course, can really start to suck you in. Like just think of something like social media. Just like think of Facebook. You and I were talking about, you know, like my mom or someone in a generation that I thought, I don't know why I thought, but maybe wouldn't be using that technology. But once they get started, once they get comfortable with it, and once they get moving in, like, they really are using it to a point where you're like, and sometimes I'm like, this could be harmful, because my mom would be say, like, well, what? Why did so and so post this today and ask questions?
Right.
Like, technology
yeah.
Now. Like, so.
Well, that's true. It's like the tool, you know. Any tool, I think about when you mentioned tool today, even before, I was thinking about how, like, any tool can be used for, like, for constructive or destructive ends. And maybe one of the barriers that people have when embracing technology is they're only thinking about the destructive ends. Like, with social media, it's like, in that digital kind of arm and in that space, thinking about, like, all the harm and, you know, and then, you know, there's studies on, like, is it dopamine? You know, and the kind of delay, the gratification and all of that, how it really harms. But there is social media has done some good stuff as well, right? There are some, there's some positive utility. And the same with these other tools like AI. We were, you were saying that before as well. So I love that kind of, it's a tool and I'm the boss of it. That right there goes a long way, Elvita, for folks just to even say, I'm the boss of using this. Case closed. Changes, it changes things.
Right, because we control when you, when you turn it off, it's off. When you
right, very true.
You are the boss of how we, you use the technology. With one caveat, I would say, we were talking this about this the other day. Data is valuable. So the input that you put, your, the data that you share, that is the one caveat that I would say, is be careful with the data that you share. That is the one caveat I would say to any concerns about technology. Just be careful with the data you share. But if you're exploring and you're looking to see how that technology and tool can help you support, don't initially, you know, put too much data in there. Put something very simple that's not sensitive. And you want to make sure wherever, whatever technology you use, check your, check the layers of trust. Layers of
security. The layers of trust and security. Wow. Well, that's a theme. Remember, I know that you've told people this before, maybe even witnessed it, in terms of even social media, watch what you're putting out there, because that's like data, right? But then you're taking it in a, an entire other layer here, which is so important for folks to recognize, like what you put into the AI, or, you know, they're still working on the laws there in terms of the ethics, and like, do you own your IP, or do they own it? You know, when there's so much there in terms of just being, being careful, or intentional, I guess I would say. So that's huge. We appreciate that as you embrace this technology, folks, what Elvita is telling us there. And then, Elvita, this is it's something that, you know, when we look at the pandemic has really enhanced our ability to embrace technology, in my opinion. But let me see how I even phrase this. I know that the pandemic has enhanced our ability, but what would you say is some of the kind of like residual of that, right? We know that, you know, there were some folks, you know, me working at that time, I was working in heavily in digital education, but in higher ed. And there were folks that the year before the pandemic, I was trying to get to use all types of stuff because you know how digital I am. But then it was like, 300% increase in that same tool that people are like, no, you know, in terms of using. So maybe the best way to phrase the question is, when we look at the, you know, the pandemic, how do you think that's like changed, you know, your view and reshaped kind of like our understanding of using these tools, you know, as you mentioned?
What comes to mind is, when people are forced to use a technology, they adapt. We as humans are adaptable. And I think, you know, you stick us in a space and place that we can't move or do anything, we're going to figure out a way how to connect, how to make sure that we get, you know, use it if we have to use technology to get the resources that we need or connect to the people that we love and care about. We are adaptable. We're agile. And so that's encouraging to me. And I think it also taught a lot of people that technology is not as scary as.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Yeah.
And I think that's, I think now, and that change, people don't like change. No one likes change. I was having another conversation with someone else talking about like, how do we grow? It's when we get in uncomfortable and discomfort. I think we were talking about as well. You have to be uncomfortable. Right.
Yes.
That made us uncomfortable, but look at the outcome. There were a lot of businesses pivoted how they did business. A lot of schools pivoted how they taught their curriculum. You know, maybe they wouldn't have done that without the pandemic, right? And so I'd like to think that helped people think differently and innovate using technology on how they deliver their services.
Mm. So this being able to be, you know, uncomfortable piece is huge with this, because whether you're talking about organizations or individuals, in that that discomfort and that space. And I'll tie it back to something you had mentioned earlier. And the word that comes up for me is play. I don't want to, you know, misquote you if you didn't say the word play, but there's something there, right, that allows for, whether it's a person or an organization, to embrace it, technology. And we've seen, when you kind of have to get thrown into the, you know, what is it? I don't know what that saying is, going thrown in neat face first. I don't know. That sounds like horrible, but you get thrown into the pool, thrown into the pool of technology, that sense of play. So I sense that you got to give folks, from what you're saying, give folks time, give yourself a break and time to play, and then, but then also be mindful about the type of information you are putting in that's going to be for the public. So there's like, there's some tie-ins here in terms of, you know, and just making sure that, you know, there is this grace that we have, you know, at the same time, right? Playful with grace. Yeah. Because people want, they want to break, they think they're going to break something. I'm sorry, what are you going to say?
Yeah, no, I said that's a great call out, to be easy and gracious on yourself. Like you said, you're not going to break, you won't break the system. Most systems are created so that you can't do any significant damage. And if you have that capability, they probably let you know in advance. But give yourself grace with learning systems. Absolutely, 100%. Here's another good point I would call out, Carl, is be comfortable with the ambiguity iteration of the system. Because, like, have you ever went to use a platform and then you're like, wait, where's the hamburger button? Where's the, like, the button?
Yeah. Right.
Because I think our minds, like, we like things to be, not change. We like them to be consistent. And then when forms change or technology changes, that's, we have to adapt to that too. But give yourself grace with that, 100%.
Wonderful. And, you know, with your background and, you know, having been in a space of, like, well, even in the classroom, right, or even as a person, but then also being outside, empowering others, whether it's like even your, you know, kind of foray into the digital marketing piece, we, tying it back to what you're saying about these tools, right, when we look at these tools and how they can empower folks, how have you seen people empowered? Because the goal is to embrace technology, obviously. That's what this episode is about. But if you were to drill into a little bit, you mentioned certain populations, like, you know, marginalized populations or what have you. You mentioned the tech summit for, was it Hispanic Latino tech summit, or is it just, I don't know exactly what the, could you remember, mention the title again of the tech summit?
Absolutely. Alpha, Association of Latino Professionals for America.
Latino Professionals for America. Okay.
Alpha, and it's a Northeast Tech Summit.
So in terms of empowering individuals and populations, could you talk a little bit more about that in terms of what you've seen and what you think is the power that is even maybe untapped with technology for these for groups? And it's like for everybody, but particularly, of course, starting there, you know, with the marginalized groups.
Gosh, yeah, absolutely. Definitely marginalized, but it does really apply to everyone. Is tech is the great equalizer. Great equalizer. And I'm a lifelong learner. Just like I, you know, there's a lot of areas you and I align, and I know you're a lifelong learner. And tech, you need to be a lifelong learner in tech. And I think that one of the areas that stands out to me is the future of education, career, like this. These are spaces I'm passionate about, and it makes me think, as like working in the university, the sustainability of the curriculum and the career development that we were providing there, I always thought to myself, like, how does it sustain with the growing costs? That was, you know, something that was very challenging to me, seeing the debt the students acquired over time, and then seeing how much the salaries they were coming out, and some weren't coming out with a job.
Okay.
Tech, you can access opportunities that perhaps our generation and before didn't have access to if you didn't have degrees. With certificates, Google certificates, they got Salesforce has their trailheads. Microsoft is now offering certificates. Like, there are these opportunities. You don't necessarily have to have a bachelor's, master's, but tech is a great equalizer, and doesn't matter where you come from, if you're willing to invest some time and energy for pretty low cost, you can enter. The barrier of entries are lower to really great careers that are influencing tech, right? I think like one of the spaces that I would call out that I see the future and the potential in growing is cybersecurity. Like, because we're talking about information is very powerful, and our personal information is powerful. So as we continue to evolve and these AI evolves, like, we have to be able to secure that information, especially people's personal information. So we're going to need more people in the cybersecurity space. So I see that growing, and people don't necessarily have to have a degree to get enter into the space. And I don't want to devalue, because I'm very passionate about education, and I'm very passionate about what we learn at the university. But I believe that it's opening more wealth building opportunities for people, and even opportunities to do things that we like. Give me something really basic, but I was trying to figure out how to change the filter in my air conditioner, heating air conditioner home system. And I was like, well, how do I do this? So I looked up the brand on YouTube. I was like, how do I change the air filter? What air filter do I buy? I figured it out all on YouTube. And historically, like before YouTube had all this information that I could access, what do? I would call it like a heating tech.
Right.
You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. And whatever they told me, I'd have to pay. I have to trust their information. But we have access to such a wealth of information that we can navigate YouTube and podcasts and learn. There's so much free learning out there that we can navigate, that we can have access to, that we didn't have access to before. So it definitely changes the game in terms of, like, think about whatever you want to do in life. I'm sure there's a podcast, YouTube, blog, or something that can help you start and navigate in that. Whether it's something small from, you know, changing the filter in your heating and cooling system to, okay, I want to, like, there's courses, like, you can get, like, all the classes for an MBA on, you know, some open source school classes. Like, what do you want to do in life? I'm sure that there's someone who's created some content out there that can help us, help you get there. And so, I mean, that's powerful. Technology is helping us to get to spaces that we would have never had 15, 20 years ago, had the opportunity to do. So as we continue to leverage, like, what will that look like in the future? I'm excited to see. I mean, and it makes me think, like, the value proposition that educational institutions offer, they're going to have to be creative, right? And I would encourage them to, how do you partner with other places that are offering opportunity, whether it could be certificates, but what is the value proposition as universities and educational institutions evolve? How are we adding more value so that it's not just a siloed space of learning, but we're connecting with other sources of opportunity and learning that can help position people into great wealth building opportunities?
Oh, that's powerful there. You know, if folks were, you know, that second piece, this entire, of course, podcast series, but that moment, if that's concretized and kind of really digested by anyone, whether it's from K through 16 to corporate or what have you, that really changes the game right there, what you're saying, you know, in terms of the really understanding the technology as a tool to help folks reach their full potential. That's big. And it's not a specific tool that we're talking about, but just embracing it, you know, as a whole. I really do love that a lot. And I what you mentioned earlier about the great equalizer, it being a technology being an equalizer, it's so important to really underscore that because of how fast time moves. It's kind of like one of those things. I love to know your thoughts on this. Like, if you're not keeping up, it used to be like, if you're not keeping up, you're falling behind. But the space of where technology or society is and the behind is growing that gap, right? You know, it's opportunity gaps. And it's like, you know, it's like a movie that's on fast forward. If you miss 2 minutes, you like miss the entire movie now, versus before you could catch up. I think it's harder to catch up now in that regard. Love to know your thoughts about that. Then we get into the education part. There was something I wanted to follow with about that. But what would you say about that in terms of just, I don't want folks to be anxious, but, you know, kind of play with grace, you know, all these things that we're talking about, but knowing that it's necessary, right, to act, you know, and embrace technology now because of how fast things are moving.
Absolutely. Yeah, that you make a great point. There's so much you could really, if you really wanted, you could be a specialist in anything, but you really would need to really focus in that one area. Tech is so, we're evolving in so many places, like in so many ways. And so give yourself grace in terms of learning tech. And just, I like to think about it, like I need a high level of approach and understanding, because I'm not like a coder. I'm not, you know, an analyst. Like I just need to understand and then like research what I need when I need it. And if I wanted to be a specialist in something, I specifically like to specialize in DIB in tech. You know, you can find your niche. You can find that, but don't feel that. I like that you said to give yourself grace, but be easy on yourself and don't feel like you need to be a specialist unless you want to be. You can pick and choose that route. And I think that can change over time, right? You might want to focus in one area and that might pivot over time because tech is so broad and it's going to continue to evolve. So what you do today in the tech space might change tomorrow. And I think that's the beauty of tech, that we're able, that there's a lot of agility in that way. And you go roll with the punches. I say roll with the punches.
Roll with the punches. Well, one of those things that we have to roll with is this whole education piece. I'm glad that you touched on it because it's such a delicate and sensitive topic that doesn't have to be delicate and sensitive, I don't think. It's just a matter of like what type of a meal it is, right? It's like, are you getting a quick snack, you know, or some nutrients, or, you know, something that's going to fill you up, or are you going for the whole course, right? You know, and when you had mentioned about education earlier, I just wanted to drill back into that because I do think that there is sometimes there seems to be some type of a tension between whether you should, you know, get a degree or these other, you know, jobs and roles. But what I appreciate about what you mentioned about the partnering, because I'm a both and person and not an either or. You know, systems of higher education are amazing for the student experience, the deeper dives, the expertise that one can have with, whether it be, you know, advanced post, you know, degrees. But there's also this real present truth and reality that you could learn something in like a weekend or something like that through applied or over the course of time. Doesn't involve a professor in front of you, right? But how deep are you going to learn it, and to what degree? And certain things don't need that kind of gatekeeper or even a facilitator. They need it to be self-driven by you. So I really do think these worlds are learning a lot from each other, right? You know, in terms of, remember in high school, you'll be in a subject for like the entire year, and then you get into college, you're like, wait, we learned that in a few months or a week. Like that module was an entire year in high school. So and then you have different learners that may require. So I really just wanted to just go back to that for a moment because it's so central to the topic we're talking about in terms of embracing technology, that kind of learning about it. And there's going to be another one of our other, you know, guests is going to be talking about learning how to learn about that, you know, but that's huge. So you wanted to go back into these nuggets and these gems that you've been dropping on us, LB, to make sure that, you know, folks can key in on these. So I don't know if there's anything else. You know, you and I can talk about the whole higher ed, you know, kind of micro credential upskilling, kind of all those types of things. And we may need to at one point, but just wanted to make sure to go back to that for a moment.
Absolutely. That would be another podcast we get more in depth. But like the one thing I've learned being a lifelong learner and going through so much education, and I've loved it, but learning is not linear. Like you said, you know, you go to school and you look to your teachers and your professors and you're like, okay, this is how you learn. But as you grow through your learning journey and you mature and then if you become an educator at that, you're like, no, there's so many different ways to learn. It's not a linear path. I think definitely with tech, and here's another facet of it being the great equalizer, there's not a linear path in terms of learning or career, getting to your career goals. And so someone might do a certificate, like a Google certificate, I'm just giving you an example, and then go to university, like get a full-time job work and then go to university. And then they might do it asynchronously. Maybe they're not engaging with people. Maybe they are. Maybe they're doing weekend formats or like, you know, maybe independent learning. There's no one, you know,
wow.
Time that you had to do it like this. It had to be in this shape, right? But I don't think we know better now. And because there's so many different styles of how we learn, we definitely are we need to continue to evolve how we teach in our our whatever we're teaching and whatever we're trying to get across to people. And I would say that, you know, it's not a one size fits all. Like, it's not. And I think as with tech, it's going to continue to challenge educational institutions and how we learn and are consumers of learning now, and we are challenging. Okay, like I'll give you an example. Like, I don't like just reading text. I really like videos. I like application. I sometimes I want to just listen. You know, we want different formats in how we learn. It's not a one size fits all. And to get to our career paths or our personal development, it's not a one size fits all. So we need all these different methods, and so to allow people to choose for themselves, right, how to achieve whatever goals they're trying to achieve through these learnings. So I think that creates opportunity. I see that as opportunity in all types of ways for educational institutions, for non-traditional career paths to getting to where you want to go. So it's not, don't look at it as a problem. It's actually opportunity.
I love that, you know, and that's the whole no one size fits all. It's such the it's at the core of what we really want to do with the, you know, what I wanted to do with Accessing Ability when I started this project, where it's like, we do know that everyone has amazing, like there was one episode that we have, and I don't like to talk about other episodes in other ones, but just so much that it applies to the point we were talking about. Everyone's brain, there's no everyone's brain is atypical, right? There aren't some that are, you know, normal and some that are not. Like, if we really look at how our brains fire and wire and how we learn in different modes and context, and there's a whole longer piece there in terms of, and that's the episode we're on, a spectrum, and it really connects to what you're saying, because I love this idea or this understanding that, wow, we all learn in different ways, so let's broaden our mind and our approach towards learning to where it doesn't have to fit that one box. And you and I both know what that one box has done to many of us, Elvita, right? It's been, that box has made it where there are some haves and have nots, some folks who've been able to succeed and others who have not been able to. And what I really love what you're saying about technology right now, it's like, it is the great equalizer in more ways than one, in that there are some folks that can learn now that may not have been given opportunity before. They had to like pass the SAT and get, you know, pass this class and that class. So I love that. I just really do hope that it's happening, as we both know, but it's not as commonly understood as in a way that aligns with the clarity of what you just provided. Because just think about all the folks out there that don't, they think they need permission to be smart, right? by these different entities or bodies that teach things in a certain way. You know, it's huge. It's huge what you're saying, you know, there.
Yeah, no, and that was just like the big aha moment, you know? But and it's that's difficult. I think it's going to be difficult for a lot of people to break that mindset, because we, you know, we've put so much into that, like, well, if you have a degree from these places, that means you
yeah
and we look like at the actual application, and what is that, and it depends what you're trying to do. Like, okay, are you trying to start a business that impacts lives for the better, and, you know, does something amazing? What is the what's the impact? What are you achieving? Because just because you have a degree doesn't mean that you have impact or you're producing something, right? But and that doesn't say, that doesn't invalidate degrees either, and the understanding of knowledge application.
Oh, definitely not. Yeah, yeah. There are deeper dives. I mean, it's this is, as I mentioned to you before, I kind of anticipated this is another like longer conversation to have around. And the thing I appreciate about, you know, many of our conversations is they are, you know, they're kind of inclusive of all perspectives while still aiming towards like a solution for that fits, that's more inclusive for everyone. Not like this kind of, you know, black or white, like there's a right and a wrong way. So that's what I really appreciate about what you know, your approach, even to talking about this topic. It was huge.
I appreciate it. And thank you for allowing the space for us to have this conversation. There's so much value, I believe, that will come out of how we think about accessing learning and ability and where technology will take us in that space. And I'm so grateful for it, because I think it opens up opportunities for a lot more people that didn't have that before we had all the technology we have now. So it's exciting. I'm very excited to see what the future has in store for us.
Yes, because we're co-creating it, Elvita. We're co-creating it. Oh, well, thank you so much. I think your words there are just really awesome in terms of closing us out here. And thank you all for listening to us here with my really good friend, Elvita Quinones. And we hope that you're able to pause and write down, you know, some of these really valuable insights. And I want to thank, you know, the audience for, you know, being with us in this series. And just remember, technology is not just a tool. It's an extension of your capabilities, their bionic arm. You know, you can embrace it to really not only equalize, but advance and empower. There's so much here to summarize. But, you know, we know, I know Elvita agrees with me, in that we know that you have unlimited potential that's waiting to be unleashed and unlocked. So let's do it. And that's what we're about with this podcast. Do you have any last words for the folks here, Elvita, before we close out?
I would say embrace technology. Try it, you know, and look on Google, YouTube, and see what you're, you know, type what you're looking for. Embrace it, try it. There's nothing to, you know, fear. Be careful what you share, personal information. But it can be a powerful tool. It can be a powerful tool, and I encourage you to explore it.
Awesome. You have listened to another episode of Universal Love Movement podcast series, a special series on accessing ability. Thank you, sending peace and love to everyone. Have a wonderful day or night or evening. Talk to y'all later.